Welcome to Trigger Talk Radio with your host, Dick Kupke. From handguns to rifles and hunting to self-defense, even a bit of politics. It's time to exercise your First and Second Amendment rights. Call and join the conversation, 734-822-1600. And now, your host, Dick Kupke.
Well, good morning and welcome back to Trigger Talk on this beautiful July 24th morning. And I got to say, first of all, I want to thank those of you who wrote me and called me and stuff like that last week because I had to do a best of show. I've been dealing with some things with family issues and had to Friday night, we brought my father home from the hospital, and Saturday was filled with visits from doctors and equipment companies and oxygen companies and all that kind of stuff. So I was not able to do the show. So, but I'm better this week. Well, I'm fine. I've always been fine, but things are more under control this week, so I'm back. So thanks to all of you who reached out to me. I appreciate it very much. And I appreciate your thoughts and prayers for my family and for my father. So thank you. Let's see. We have got some gun shows. Actually, you got to go north to go gun showing today. This this is not a bad idea because there's like an Escanaba gun show at the Upper Peninsula State Fairgrounds at Escanaba. Well, if you're up there on vacation, you know, who wants to go to the beach and go fishing all the time and stuff when you can go to a gun show, right? So we got the Escanaba gun show, and also you've got the Houghton Lake gun and knife show at the Northern Center in Houghton Lake. So a couple of up north places where, I know you've been there for a whole week. And oh my goodness, yes, honey, we had some fudge and we we went and saw the pictured rocks. Yeah, we saw where it caved in and all that kind of stuff. But God, I need my gun fix. Okay, well, you're getting it right now by listening to Trigger Talk Radio on. Probably if you're up in the Upper Peninsula, you probably are streaming it. I don't know. Derek, do we still have, we had a station that was carrying Wham stuff up north. Are we still doing that?
No. So no. If anybody's listening up north, it would be on whamradio.com.
Okay. So they've been streaming it. And by the way, what's the status? Is our 92.7 FM got knocked off the air, didn't it?
Yeah. We're still waiting on it to be fixed and hopefully it will be fixed soon.
Yeah. It took a lightning strike. You know, I want to, isn't that right?
Yeah. Yep. During the thunderstorm about late June, early July. Yeah. That's when it got struck by lightning.
Yeah. And, now that's not, indicative of anything. It wasn't, it could have been, maybe it was one of those, ads it is part of bundled ads, and you go, gee, why are we carrying that on Wham? And it's part of a bundled ad group or something like that, and maybe from up on high, somebody said, stop talking about that. Boom, lightning strike on our transmitter. So I don't know. I don't know if I believe that or not. So at any rate, let's see what else we got here. We have in Ohio today the Smithville Gun Show at the GTCPS Community Center in Smithville, Ohio. Missouri's got the Lincoln County Gun Show at the Knights of Columbus Hall in Troy, Missouri, and the 50th Annual National Summer Arms Show. That sounds like a biggie. The MVACA, I'm not sure what that is. I'll have to look that up. But in Kansas City, and nothing in New York. So I want to say the biggest thing that happened this week, and by the way, there's no new numbers. We're still at 755,802. CPLs. And probably the biggest thing that I think happened this week, although we'll talk about other things, but I guess there's a Freudian slip by Joe Biden at his town hall. Now, I was not watching his town hall because I know that I'm going to be able to, you know, within an hour you can go and there's a complete list on the internet of all the things he screwed up and said wrong and gaffes. And when he talked about, I got to say, when he talked about if your kids want to find out if there are space aliens, you know, I mean, where is this man's mind? Okay. But he did let it slip about maybe we need to have a 9mm handgun ban, because nobody needs a 9mm that'll hold 20 rounds. Actually, he said, let me get the exact quote here, okay? And it was during a CNN town hall event in Ohio, which I got to say, I think maybe 5 or 6 people watched, because people don't watch CNN that much in the first place, and they especially don't like to watch Biden town halls. Although, I've got to believe there's going to be a drinking game invented. Has that happened yet, Derek? Have you heard of anybody inventing a drinking game about the Joe Biden gaffes or anything?
No.
No, you know, like when they used to have games, you know, with TV shows and stuff, when they said certain things and everybody had to take a drink. I think if you had a drinking game with Biden speeches, that would be fun. I should try to come up with one of those. But so anyway, he was down there with Don Lemon, who is he moderated the live broadcast to an international audience. Okay, yeah, all the people in Europe are real excited about him. And so when he started talking about things, and the conversation turned to gun control. And that's when he started bragging about, I'm the only politician to pass an assault weapons ban. Well, I got to believe, I think that there were other people, Joe, that voted along with you. I mean, maybe you had some hand in it. Probably you plagiarized somebody else's thing and did it. But to say you're the only politician to ever pass an assault weapons ban. And by the way, the following year, you guys lost the House because people were so upset with it. Okay. I'm the only guy who ever got passed legislation when I was a senator to make sure we eliminated assault weapons. Well, you did that, Joe, for 10 years, 1994 assault weapons ban that sunsetted in 2004. Thank goodness it had a sunset clause in it. And it did absolutely nothing, which does not surprise me, because most of what Congress seems to do does absolutely nothing. But here's what he said the other night. And I want to say he kind of mixed talking about rifles and pistols and things. But think about this. So here's the exact quote. The idea that you need a weapon that can have the ability to fire 20, 30, 40, 50, 120 shots from that weapon, whether it's a 9mm pistol or whether it's a rifle, it's ridiculous. Okay. So when he's talking about 20 rounds, okay, first of all, let's think. A standard magazine in a Glock 17 is 17 rounds, okay? And it on a Glock 19, it's 15. Most Glock 9s, it's 15, 12. Depends on when they were built. And you know, I had a Glock 26 at one point. I think it held 10, a small, you know, subcompact. I don't have that anymore. I had a point in my life when I had, believe it or not, too many Glocks. is that an oxymoron? I think that you, I don't think you can actually have too many Glocks, but I had a lot of 9mm and I had too many Glocks. So my brother has them now, but, let's see. So anyway, despite the Democrats' often used phrase that nobody wants to take your guns away, the president's comments were not very reassuring for people. Okay? If there's one thing that I want to say, first of all, he's picking on guns that hold 20 rounds. Now, it used to be 30 rounds. The 40, 50, 120 shots from that weapon, what's he talking about? Is it like 430 round mags, you know, because you could have 430s, you could have 620s, you know, for that matter, you could have a whole bunch of 10 round mags. So I want to say that, let me just see here. I want to say that he was not very reassuring. And by the way, 9mm pistols are the best choice for home defense. They're easy to carry. They're reasonably priced. The ammunition, this is a thing. They go, well, 9mm is cheaper than 45. Well, you know, in a mag full of it, what's it going to be? A couple bucks? It's no big deal. But and it does have milder recoil and higher capacity and things like that. So I want to say it is pretty bad when in a town hall speech, the president's out there talking about getting rid of 9mm. We've got Ed from Ypsilanti on the phone, and he has a comment about, I want to say, who are you talking about here? Demented people using guns, it says from Derek.
Actually, yeah, I was thinking about this, demented people and guns, like the guy on the town hall stage talking about guns. You know, I'm going to play that clip on my show later, so don't steal my thunder, okay?
I won't. I'll leave that to you. That's okay.
Yeah, it's a good thing to point out what he's saying about guns. I don't know that the Supreme Court would let him get away with that, given the rulings we had against California and high-capacity mags. But what I'm actually calling you about is a friend of mine called me about a friend of hers. And they're getting up in age. They're not old, you know. And but her friend's husband, he's, I don't know him. I don't know the situation, but his wife is afraid of his recent insistence on keeping a loaded gun around the house. Now, my wife's not afraid of my insistence of keeping a loaded gun around the house.
Yeah.
But
my wife would think something's wrong if I didn't have loaded guns around the house. So go ahead.
Well, the point is, if somebody suspected that their spouse was losing it, I know we don't have red flag laws, and I'm not a fan of it. So this is very, very shady area. I wouldn't want somebody saying, you know, Ed, you can't keep a loaded gun around. But at some point, if one of my best friends got dementia, and they had to get him to agree to give up his gun.
I want to say that what you're talking about, too, is a thing that the important thing. There are, you know, 80-year-old, 90-year-old people that are sharp as a tack, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then there's other ones that are just merely forgetful. You got to know the difference, okay? I mean, there's a difference between where did I leave my keys and having dementia. But one of the
thank God.
I know. But one of the main things is when the person starts to express wishes to either end it all or when they have outright suicidal tendencies. But the other thing that can happen is with paranoia. And I am certainly not a counselor, and I'm not a doctor or anything like that, but I am going through some of these things right now with a parent.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is that when somebody has expressed the desire to hurt themselves or potentially somebody else, that in itself is a red flag, okay? And the thing is that you do not need to have, that's the whole, one of the fallacies about red flag laws. All that does is actually essentially make a law and encourage people to you know, use grudges and being upset with an ex-spouse or something like that. But there is, in any state, you are literally able to talk to law enforcement and be able to say that I have concern for my, you know, our welfare in the family or whatever, and they can come and do a welfare check like that, and they can get an opinion. If it appears, if they're, and even if they talk to the person, and because this happens, is that sometimes people are, you know, they go in and out of dementia phases. Okay. My father is going through this right now, and sometimes he is very coherent and remembers a lot of things. I mean, it amazes me, not just remembering things from 75 years ago, but I mean, he is up to speed on things. But other times he's in la-la land. And what can happen is the people who end up with dementia and Alzheimer's, they can have, you know, delusions of people that are, and they forget, they may, the door may open and they think it's a robber coming in and it's mm-hmm. the wife coming home. Mm-hmm. They, or the kids coming home or something like that. And so you kind of, when once they have expressed something that is delusional about their personal protection, or that somebody's out to get them, or that they, especially if they are despondent and depressed, and if they are talking about, I'd be better off dead, you know what I mean? Then it's not good to have that around. And so you need to, yeah, I guess you got to think about, and in the case of like my father, we've been, we had been talking before the pandemic, he had been seeing a counselor at the VA that helped him quite a bit with that, those kind of feelings, okay? That was the mental health part of it. The dementia is, you know, that'll eventually eat away completely. But so the thing is that you have to seek some kind of help. And I would say probably one of the first bets is to talk with your personal, what is it called? The preferred
healthcare provider?
Yeah, what is it called? Your primary care provider, okay?
Yeah.
But also there is quite a good group.
Oh, hey, are you okay? You're having short-term memory loss. You okay?
Hey, Ed, knock it off.
Sorry.
I want to say the other thing is there is an area. It's called the Area Agency on the Aged, and they have them all over the country. Down here in Indiana, where my father lives, there is. It's called Group 4, I think it's called, or Area 4. Up in Michigan, I think it's called Area 1B or something like that. So they have a lot of resources to be able to help people with that. I want to say if the guy is having the dementia or Alzheimer's things, then and does he have a safe in the house? Does he have a safe to be able to lock it in it?
I don't know. I don't know the person personally, friend of a friend. And there's no guarantee he has dementia. It's just that he's been getting a bit belligerent lately, sort of like I have.
Well, aren't we all? Okay, we're all a little upset every time we hear the latest numbers out of Arizona that they're finding with, you know, bad votes and things like that.
And that, right? That could be all that's happening to this guy. You know what I mean? He's getting upset. Yeah.
But I want to say there is, I actually have removed firing pins out of guns, okay? And I've also, on one that it's not easy to do, I plugged the chamber. Okay.
She asked, the question was asked by the mutual friend, could she, in fact, I think she was thinking of, she had unloaded it and got caught unloading. Could she put blanks in it and would he realize it? And I said, man, if I was clear-headed and somebody came in the door and I thought I had a self-defense weapon and I'm shooting blanks, I'm going to be really upset before I die.
Yeah, yeah. I think that probably blanks is not a good idea. I think I'm going to think about this, Ed, and think I'll check to see what kind of resources we have
talk
and see if I can talk about it next week. But it's one of these topics we're all going to face sooner or later, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hope my wife doesn't face it, but yeah.
Well, I know that. I mean, we all would like to just die in our sleep, but that may not happen.
Like Grandpa did behind the wheel, right?
Yeah.
Not like this fast.
Now, that's a funny story, okay? That story about Grandpa dying behind the wheel asleep, but we all would just like to wake up dead. So, okay.
Yeah. All right, thanks. I'll talk to you later.
See you later. Okay, that was kind of a downer subject, but it's a good subject because we all have to think about gun safety. And that doesn't mean just, aiming, you know, careful aim and making sure your gun's not loaded and leaving it around for kids. But here's the other thing, too, is that if the person is experiencing dementia or Alzheimer's or something, and they still have a firearm, they are less likely to be handling it in a safe manner. Even though they may seem to be, they may be, leaving it where it is accessible, things like that. So I guess we all have to kind of figure out where we're going with these things. I'm going to look and see if there's some recommendations and stuff for it for next week, because, again, that's a subject near and dear to my heart with my own father right now. And so we'll see where it goes. Okay, let's see. Oh, I was getting a kick reading about the things that Biden said about the 9mm ban. And by the way, President Biden has made the call to ban 9mm before. In November of 19, while campaigning for the presidency, he said at a posh $2,800 per person private event, why should we allow people to have military-style weapons, including pistols with 9mm bullets and can hold 10 or more rounds? Now, I want to say, in reality, he's only saying what people are writing for him. And and that may have been true in 2019 also, but it's doubly true now because he can't get two sentences out of his mouth without stumbling, okay? But the thing is that he is following an agenda that people are placing in front of him. You've heard when he's talked about, I can't take any questions because I'll get in trouble. Well, how are you going to get, you're the president of the United States. You're going to get into, who's getting you in trouble? Is it Dr. Jill? She's off in Japan at the opening ceremony for the Olympics over there, okay, which are starting to be a joke too. Let's see. Biden's political career is an ongoing spectacle of anti-gun incompetence. However, his signature profile gaffes serve as an instructive purpose. Biden is emblematic of a political class that cannot be bothered to learn even the most rudimentary information concerning firearms. Isn't that the truth? We see all of these people that are constantly talking about guns that clearly know nothing about it. Despite nearly four decades in the U.S. Senate and 8 years as vice president, he is still a complete ignoramus on the subject. Now, I didn't write this. I love this, though. Ignorant. By the way, doesn't the word ignoramus sound like something you'd see here in a Three Stooges movie? I mean, that's not a word that you normally hear in conversation. Oh, well, how's that ignoramus brother-in-law of yours? No, but this is a very fitting word for the president as an ignoramus, especially when it comes to guns. Biden and his cohorts don't want to know anything about guns, gun rights, or gun owners. Rather, they prefer to mindlessly indulge their anti-gun prejudice at every opportunity. Oh, yeah, they're all out there. A gun that shoots 150, it's got 150 bullet magazine with, something, with a suppressor on it or something. He just comes up with stupid stuff. It's like that Carolyn McCarthy or whatever her name was, when somebody asked her what a folding stock was, and she said, oh, isn't it that little thingy that goes up? It's a bunch of ignoramuses, and I think that's a very fitting word. Let's see. It also talks about the fact that he mentioned that violent crime was going down. Well, it's not going down, okay? Violent crime is increasing over the last year, and America wants a solution. Over and over, President Biden frames violent crime as a gun problem. His presentation this month was no different, but the problem is far more reaching. Violent crime is rising across the board. In 2019, this is the last year for records, 92% of the violent crime did not involve guns. And even just 2% of gun crimes end in murder. So in reality, the problem is not guns out there. It's violent behavior, okay? And that's what we're going to have to address in our places like Chicago. I was going to talk about Chicago again. I may talk about Chicago in the second half. And I'll actually get to talk about guns because I have got a fun couple of stories about revolvers. I'm on a snub nose kick. So anybody who wants to talk about snub noses, you give me a call in the second half at 832-1600, right? 734-822-1600. I got to get this right. Oh, gosh, I miss 1 week and my whole show falls apart here. So at any rate, in this second half of the show, we're going to talk about revolvers. We're going to talk about snub noses, just a lot of fun things. And I welcome your calls on the subjects that we talked about. Have any of you dealt with the issue of your parents or grandparents or anybody with the dementia issue in guns? We'll talk about it in a little bit. This is Dick Kupke at Trigger Talk Radio here at Wham Talk 1600. We'll be back in a few minutes.
Wham! Talk 1600. Welcome back to Trigger Talk Radio with your host, Dick Kupke. Call now, 734-822-1600 to join in the conversation.
And we are back, and I have got a caller on the phone. Well, good morning. How are you?
Dude, how you doing?
I'm doing great. What's up?
Well, I want to give you some information on where we're at with our transmitter, but first I want to ask you, I have a couple of Ruger LCR revolvers, and do those qualify as snub noses? Probably not.
Yeah, they do. You've got the 38 Special snub nose, right?
I do. I have 38 Special or Plus P. I never run Plus P in it, but, I mean, 38's plenty punch.
Yeah, and they are outstanding. Now, those are, I shot one of those. I remember when you got your first one. Those are actually excellent pocket guns, too, because they don't have a hammer that can get caught up on things. There are ones that do have hammers that they came out with later on, but yours is the original, and that's just an outstanding gun. Now, I want to say I'm kind of the old school stainless steel kind of guy when it or blued steel when it comes to revolvers, but that was kind of like the first one of the lightweight compact revolvers.
No, for me, black is beautiful.
I know.
I like that. But I thought you're right. They're so sleek and they fit in your pocket. Don't get hung up. The other thing, I've had that for, oh, my God, you probably remember when I bought it. I don't. I'm having a Biden moment, but I've had it so long. I've never had any misfire, any problem with that gun whatsoever at all. And I have thousands of rounds through it.
That's one of the things about revolvers that people like is they just – they go bang when you pull the trigger.
Yeah.
They are very reliable. They take minimal maintenance, and they just keep going round after round after round. And that's true of most revolvers. So,
And my Canic 9mm are my go-to guns. I'm sitting 1 foot from them. Like you said earlier, you really need loaded guns in the house. Having an unloaded gun is like a car without any gas. You need a loaded gun, and I would argue you need one in every room, if not every floor of the house. That's the God's truth.
Well, yeah, you can't tell the bad guy, hey, wait a minute, I have to go run down to the basement and get my gun out of the safe.
I've got a nightmare story about that, but it's too long to go into. I actually heard somebody talk about that. They were being horribly stabbed on their living room floor, and their gun was upstairs in the bedroom. They survived it. Unbelievable. Anyway, the Wham Tower, our Wham FM, we were struck by lightning. Pretty much everything in our transmitter shack at the FM site was fried, melted.
Oh, no.
I don't know that it took a direct hit, but the farmer that has the property that the tower sits on said a lot of his stuff was melted as well. Where we're at on that, we sent the transmitter to the company that does this type of stuff in North Carolina. They sent back a new transmitter. We've got another couple of pieces of equipment to replace some stuff that was in there that was fried. And where we're at right now is we should be up and rolling with FM, 92.7 Wham FM. Probably by the end of next week, if not sooner. So apologies to everybody. Stuff happens. That was not a lightning strike from God. That was a demonic force trying to take out truth, justice, and the American way.
Oh, I believe that. I should have thought of it in that mode. So that's good. Thank you.
And one other thing. You were off last week. I called you. I'm volunteering 5'7" by 28.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Well, I can never remember those numbers, but it is sweet. I'll volunteer my FN and the ability to deliver it in that round so you guys can do some ballistic testing with it.
How cool. Thank you very
much. I got to be there, though.
I
can't be away from it. I got to be there. Hands on, man.
Well, you know, one of the things that's interesting is that the those guns, whether they're in the PS90 like you've got, or the even in the like the Ruger 57 and stuff, those guns will hold 20 rounds.
Yep.
Okay, and the PS holds 50, I think, doesn't it?
It does. It holds 50. Yeah. So you keep like 5-10 magazines topped off and one in the gun, one in the chamber. I think that you're going to make whatever stand you need to make.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for offering that.
And one other thing. That whole blasting out where he wants to get rid of 9mm, that is horrific. That's the go-to round. I'm sorry. I know there's 45 ACP guys out there and guys like 40s and 10s. No, 9mm is the go-to round. And to do that, he's really taking a swipe at America. Big time.
Absolutely. And actually, the Heller ruling and things like that all said that it is okay to have guns that are in common usage, and there is no more common usage than a 9mm.
Well, it's crazy not to. I mean, as horrific as it sounds, and if you talk about it in too much detail, they'll hold it against you in a court of law if ever necessary. But you've got those guns so you can make a stand against the guys that have those guns if it is necessary. That's what the forefathers said.
Well, I actually have an interesting article, if I get to it, on the fact that the majority of the firearms out there are 9mm. And a matter of fact, in particular, one of the things is it has become almost a cult item. You have to have a Glock 9 if you're in the hood. So
Well, you just mentioned earlier the Glock 26. That's my go-to 100%. That's the one I resonate with.
I like
with.
That gun. I do. And it's 10 plus 1, right? So, I mean, you've got plenty of ammo, and it's a nice, neat, small package.
And you can carry two extra magazines with you. You're good. Biden would hate that. Here you are with 31 rounds at the Costco.
Remember, he said, I know. And the people go, oh, my goodness, there's somebody. I can't imagine that there'd be somebody next to me with a gun. Well, it's all over the place. There are people next to you with a gun because they just don't. You don't know it because concealed means concealed.
Now I say thank God. All right, listen, thanks for taking the call, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Tyrone. Thank you for calling. We've got Tom from Detroit who wants to talk about demented people as well. Hey, Tom.
Hi, I just, you know, I heard you talking about that comment about the, the red flag laws having to do with the demented people. And, you know, those are things that don't happen very often. You know, we don't need laws for things that don't happen very often. I mean, there's, any paramedic or even a EMT basic, you know, knows there's a way to test somebody to see, you know, if they're competent or not. They basically have to do it before they take anybody to the hospital because, you know, if they're competent, they can make a choice if they want to go or not. If they're incompetent, well, then they don't get to make the choice because, you know, the paramedic would get sued if something happened. And the other comment I wanted to make real quick, you were talking about Biden and bragging that he passed the assault weapons ban. You know, if I remember right, and I'm pretty sure I do, that assault weapons ban was part of a big pile of legislation that came out after the Oklahoma City bombing. And, you know, that Oklahoma City bombing is, in my opinion, it was a false flag. There's William Cooper wrote a little book about it. Colonel Parton, he's the head of Air Force weapons research. He went and inspected the building, and he said no way that was done with a single AMFO bomb. The columns were cut with high velocity charges. There's blueprints of the column. It shows how some of the columns that were further away were blown up, were closer, you know, farther away from where the truck was said to be, and some of the closer ones weren't blown up, indicating that, you know, some of the charges didn't go off. That assault, then they pushed the Patriot Act after 9/11, and you know, it's always got to be a big emergency and all about getting the guns. These guys in Michigan where the militia was going to kidnap our governor, you know, just about the time she wanted to declare martial law, magically now it's coming out that you know, these guys were solicited by the FBI.
Oh, I know. I don't want to go too deep into the conspiracy things, but it is when you get into these things and you find out that five of the 12 of them or something like that were all on the federal payroll, then it becomes almost like they're seeding things. But, and I want to say the other guys... There are people that can be coerced to do things by people who know how to do it. And let's leave it right there, Tom. Okay.
Yeah, they want to disarm the militia, and that's, you know, I think everybody can figure that. But thanks for taking my call.
Okay, thanks, Tom. Yep. So I'm trying to figure out right now let me see here. There we go. I just figured out how to get back to, I'm working with one computer again instead of two. And so I'm trying to figure out how to be able to see my 50 pages of show prep, of which I'm on page six, by the way. Oh, gosh, we have so many things to talk about. Trying to get it back so I could read it here. Let's see that. I want to say, oh, by the way, this is interesting. Did you know that the British website exposed a hack of British website exposed thousands of gun owners? Well, what happened is there was a thing like a guntrader.uk. Believe it or not, they actually have that. It's like a gun broker website or something in the UK. You wouldn't think that they could have that with the laws that they got. But the point is apparently they do. And it was hacked into. And the thing is they didn't take any information on credit cards or any, none of that shown up at least. What's happened is they mainly wanted the addresses of the people who were trading and buying guns. So the question becomes, are these where people are actually now in England? Well, by the way, who is the hack? Could it be somebody who doesn't want people to have guns, so they want to be able to target them, like people, like when they have gun registrations in countries, so that they know who has the guns, so they can target maybe confiscating them or something like that? Well, the other thing is it could be bad guys who are out there who want to know who's got guns so they can go steal them. Okay, but again, interesting that it's not your typical hack where they're trying to do ransomware and stuff like that. Essentially, what they did is they took 100,000 customer records, and they only were interested in firearms that were sold. So very interesting kind of thing. By the way, here's an interesting good feeling story. West Virginia, which is a very gun-friendly state, not like Virginia, where they all seem to have, you know, that's one of those states that is, bordering D.C., and it's got all the politicians in it and stuff, and it went very, very blue, very, very Democrat, and all of the, you know, that's that Ralph Northam who is, you know, writing all the anti-gun laws and things like that. Well, West Virginia is not like that. West Virginia, actually the government, the state government, has requirements out there for that when guns are seized in any kind of a, you know, police action, whether they're stolen property and they can't be returned because they can't figure out whose they are, or they're seized from a felon and a criminal and stuff like that. Unlike places like Ohio and L.A. and New York that require them to be melted down as if, you know, that they're going to get back on the street and kill people. No, West Virginia actually requires that the state have a gun auction, and they auctioned off, let me see how many, over 600 guns went on sale run by the state treasurer. And they made a ton of money, and it all goes back into law enforcement. So law enforcement, like, for example, there was a Jackson County sheriff who said, we just got 10 portable radios for our police that we couldn't afford otherwise. And that cost was over $15,000, and it was due to the sale of the guns and then dividing up the money among the state's law enforcement agencies. So, I mean, there is a state that not only supports gun rights, but also recognizes that if they're going to auction off a gun, they are going to sell it to somebody who is a verifiable good guy, okay, and use the money to help other law enforcement and police. So, let's see. Louisiana lawmakers said, by the way, they the governor was vetoing their constitutional carry bill, and when they took a vote to override the veto, it lost. And that's because a bunch of the people that signed on as, yes, we are going to vote for constitutional carry, did so because they knew that the governor was going to override it, okay? I mean, you know, he was going to veto it. And so they felt comfortable. Even some five Democrats even in the state voted for the constitutional carry bill. Why? Because they're pandering to their constituents, okay? You got to remember this, okay? When it comes to all these politicians voting, many of them vote comfortably to support something, knowing that it's going to fail because of the votes. And then when it push comes to shove, like a override veto vote, then their true colors come out. So very interesting in Louisiana there. Let's see. Where is my, keep your hands off. Oh, well, this is actually a good story that I was reading, and it was called Keep Your Hands Off Your Gun Until You Have a Good Reason to Touch It. Now, what is he talking about there? Well, the point is that, when people carry, and this is something you'll find, it changes over the years. A lot of my listeners carry firearms, okay, and many of them have been doing it for decades. I've been doing it for decades, okay, and so what happens is that when you first carry a gun, though, you have it's interesting because you're afraid. You think everybody can tell you're carrying a gun. Well, is it printing in my pocket? Is the bulge of the holster under my carry garment showing? And you keep, the other thing you do a lot is you kind of like occasionally brush against it so that you make sure that it's still there. Okay. But then what happens is after you carry enough, then you get so used to it. It's like, it's like an appendage that you just know is there. You're not, okay, maybe you touch it. Maybe you touch it more than you should, but you don't have to do that with the gun, okay? Don't play with your gun, okay? And the thing is that a lot of the things that happen, and when they have a negligent, and that's exactly what it is. It's not an accidental discharge. It's a negligent discharge. And that's because what you do is you're reaching back, you're touching it. You're pulling it out of the holster to check it, to make sure it's okay. You're showing it to somebody. Actually, there was a story that brought this about where a South Carolina man shot himself because he was trying to show his new holster to his friend. Okay, so he dropped the magazine out of the firearm and he pulled the trigger and shot himself in the hand. Okay, the point is that guy, don't touch your gun unless you need it. Okay, now that's not true at night. Like when you take the gun off and you put it on a high shelf, maybe you lock it in a safe, maybe it's on the bedstand next to you, then it's appropriate. But when you're out in public and stuff like that, don't keep touching it. Don't ever pull your firearm unless you intend to use it, okay? Let's see. What else? I had a great story here, and it was based on one of these things called This Old Gun, or I Have This Old Gun, on the National Rifle Association American Rifleman magazine. And it was the Colt Police Detective Special, which is a gun that I think most of us enjoy, have liked for years. There are modifications that have been done to it, but the Colt Detective Special is like the epitome of the snub nose. But I like so many different snub noses. I like the Smith J frames. I like the Ruger SP-101s. I like, you know what I really wanted at one point? I wanted a 2-inch 44 Magnum. It's called a Ruger Alaskan, and I never got it. I have to keep my eye out for one of those. It's a little bit hefty to carry, and it would be a cannon when it comes to muzzle blast with a 2-inch barrel on a 44 Magnum. I do have a 2-inch barreled 44 Special, though. I have a Charter Arms Bulldog, and I love that gun, too. So I want to say I have a lot of affection for that, but I just ran across another story that I think affects a lot of people in my listening area. And this is, I watched a video, and it was called The Man Who Kept the Peace in Detroit. And it was a video about Chief Police Chief James Craig. And I want to say, and he's announced, I guess just yesterday, he announced, or this could have been a couple days ago, he announced that he is running for governor against Gretchen Whitmer as a Republican. And he is a conservative. He's not a rhino. He's not a Republican in name only. He's a conservative. But his stance on firearms and concealed carry and individual gun rights and stuff is exactly what has helped. And I want to say, you know, when he mentioned, if you haven't seen it, there is a video out there. And I want to say, you might look it up. The article was called The Man Who Kept the Peace in Detroit. And it was a video that he took the day that he announced doing an exploratory committee. And then later he announced he was running. And his attitudes are what, you know, kept Detroit from turning into Portland and Seattle and Milwaukee and Minneapolis and all these places that had so many problems, because he wasn't going to put up with it. And I think that, you know, I'd enjoy hearing from people. We won't have much time left today. Maybe we'll talk about it next week again. But I think that those are exactly the attitudes that a governor in a state that includes places like Grand Rapids and Detroit and Lansing and other areas, Flint, where there may be crime issues. We need a pro law enforcement and a pro gun governor, and that would be nice to have. Let's see. There's the Colt. I'm gonna hold off on the snub nose discussion until next week. So I don't think we have anybody holding on there that's wanting to talk about anything. But let me ask. I want to quick ask Derek. What's your show about tomorrow, Derek?
Tomorrow I'm celebrating milestone anniversaries of the greatest individual seasons in Detroit Tigers history.
That sounds like a good one. I've enjoyed, Derek has this fun show, and it's on at 12:30 on Sunday, right?
Right.
And it is just, Derek, you all know him as the Swiss Army Knife of Wham Radio. That's what Theron calls him all the time. And he has his own show, The Stone Cold Sports Truth, and it's excellent. So it's a good show to watch. Let's see. I had another story, and I'm going to run out of time on it. Oh, this was interesting. Indiana has decided to make the carry licenses free in Indiana, and they're good forever too. They had 25,000 applicants in the first week in Indiana. So it's interesting. I'm going to keep track of that. Indiana is my, although I only lived in Indiana until I was 21 years old, but I've lived in Michigan a lot longer than that. So it's really my home state, but I was born in Japan, but Indiana is my home state, or my birthing state, and my home now has been Michigan for the past 43 years. So at any rate, let me see. I had another story. A California judge has given a green light to a lawsuit against Smith & Wesson to go after it, that's saying that they are marketing and pandering to criminals, and that they should be held responsible for the damage done by their lawfully sold firearms. So they're going against the Protection of Lawful Commerce and Arms Act. And I want to say, guys, the anti-gunners and the liberals out there are not hiding it at all anymore. Even the president's talking about, we need to get rid of 9mm. We're not going to do that. And it's going to be a call to arms, okay? This is Dick Kupke at Trigger Talk Radio here at Wham Talk 1600. And hopefully pretty soon, 92.7 FM will be restored. I'll see you next week.